He is so worthy. He's so worthy to receive so much more than we can ever express, because He's God. There is no name like His name. There is no one we can turn to, no one who knows the end from the beginning. He is just worthy. He's worthy of it all. Man, what a ripe atmosphere for God to do what He wants to do today. Man. I just get in moments like this, and I can't help but feel that I really get to experience this. Brad Carpenter and all of his glory, all of his, it's such an incredible blessing what we get to experience. And what I love that we get to feel this here. I love that we come together. And as I'm just thinking through this, you know, there's a something about being together. You know, the scripture says, don't forsake the gathering together of yourselves, that much more as you see the day approaching. And I think that, you know, we look at that and we think it's all about coming to church, and that's a part of it. But really, it's about being together. And when we get together, it's incredible. You know, togetherness was so powerful that God had to say, I can't let them always be together, and I got to confuse their languages, and it's the reason we have to use a translation software as more people come. But it's powerful when we're together. And we're going to get to that in just a moment. I just, you know, do you remember, all right, and when Moses went to the temple, Joshua was there with him. Moses had some things he needed to do, and so Moses left. But the Bible says that Joseph just lingered. Joshua. Do you understand why he just lingered? It's why I'm not in a hurry to move on. I don't want to just take His presence for granted. I don't want to be like, oh man, we felt the presence of God, now let's just move on. There's just something special about His presence. And, you know, it was here from the very moment. It's the reason Ralph was talking. He just felt the presence. Amen. But if I don't get started, we won't get to leave. So this morning, I was a little over a week ago, I felt like I got my Valentine's Day message, you know. But I felt like I was supposed to preach it today. And so I thought, they're going to get two Valentine's Day messages this year. And then Brother Linder got a hold of me, and we will have the Butlers from Bulgaria with us next week. And so now I understand why I got the message early. But I was talking to my wife the other day, and I'm so glad that I do that, talk to my wife. Especially this time of year. And I told her, I said, God already gave me my message, and I know it, and I love it when I get it early. The older I get, the less I like last-minute stuff. I don't know. I was a procrastinator when I was young. I don't like that feeling anymore. But I told her, I said, I'm going to preach this message. She said, you preached that last year. Number one, I was impressed you remember what I preached last year. Because I didn't. But same thing, but really it's just part two. It's a continuation. Last year I preached, That's the Power of Love. And during that message, I talked about the fact that love is the foundation for everything that Jesus does. Love is the reason that we feel his presence right now. It's the reason that he says, oh my word, they're singing songs to me and they're worshiping me and they love me. I want to go be with them. And so it's the foundation for everything, the foundation for the gospel. And love, of course, we learned last year, is God. And you can't do anything out of love that God's not a part of it, because you can't have love outside of God. So even the staunchest atheist, when he loves something or someone, he's expressing not only love, but he's expressing God, because you can't separate God and love. And then we learned the last thing was that his love, the power of his love, changes us so that we can become like him, so that we... so that our love shines to others, that his love is able to be passed on to them. And that is the power of love. But this morning I'm going to talk about the power of love part two, because there's more to it than just that. And I think this, that the atmosphere is ripe and ready for what God wants to say to us this morning, because there's going to be some actions we're going to take at the end of this today. If you have your Bible and would turn to the book of Psalms, chapter 33, verses 18 and 22. If you have it, say amen. You might have. But the Lord watches over those who fear him or are in awe of him and hold him in high esteem. Those who rely on his unfailing love. Then dropping down to verse 22. Let your unfailing love surround us, O Lord, for our hope is in you alone. Again, this morning I want to talk about the power of love part two. I don't know if there will be a part three. This might be the longest series in the history of church, but I know we've got part two today. Father, I love you. I thank you for your sweet presence. I thank you for your love. I thank you, Lord, for your word. And I just pray today that as we say the things that you would speak to the body, God, that you would help us to draw closer to you and to one another. And we ask it in your precious name. Amen. You might be seated. So we find the psalmist here. We don't know who this psalmist is, but he's writing these words that they would sing. And he's saying, the Lord watches over those who hold God in high esteem, who fear him, who are in awe of him, those who rely on his unfailing love. You see, relying on his unfailing love, we find through these words, it invites him into our life, saying, I know that he's the God of the universe. I know he is my creator. I know he is my redeemer. I know he is everything. And that God who loves me, I'm going to rely upon him for everything. I when I was reading this, I was thinking, what does this look like in life? And anyone who's ever had small children, especially that first child, you're laying in bed at night and you're sound asleep and you hear something in your eyes, they flash awake. And you're like, I know I heard something. And so you get out of bed and you walk into the bedroom where your child is, and you look around the room, and you make sure everything is okay because something stirred you. So I've got to just check on them and make sure they're okay. And you look around and you look on their bed, or you look in the crib if they're that young, and you look and you're like, okay, I don't see anything wrong. And then you stand there for a moment and you just watch them breathe. You watch their chest rise and fall as they take those breaths. And you stand there, and unless you're really grumpy because it's the fourth or fifth time you've been up, but you smile and you look at what God gave you and you're like, it's all okay. And then you go back and you crawl in bed and you know that everything is all right. And I couldn't help but think of the unfailing Father, the one who watches over you. That's what he does for us in life. He's always got his eye upon you when we rely upon him. And that's what he is saying. We as a nation, we as people need to rely on him who knows and holds all things in his hand. He says, there is hope in him alone. There is no greater place of protection than in our unfailing Father's eyes. You see, he sees us, and when we go to him and we rely upon his unfailing love, what ends up happening is he surrounds us with his love and with his presence, and he is always there. There's just something special about the unfailing love. There's something special about the unfailing love of our Father. Some of you may have heard the story of Rick Hoyt. He was born in 1962 with severe cerebral palsy. It was so bad that the doctors went to his parents and they said, your son will probably never be able to communicate. More than likely just be in a vegetative state his whole life. You would do yourselves a favor just to find an institution. Take him there. Put him in a room. Let them watch over him and give him the life that they can provide for him. Well, for his father, Dick, that wasn't good enough. And so mom and dad took him home. And fortunately, we live in a time of technology. And as time went, they created software, and they found that he was able to communicate with them some, and there ended up being software that he was able to communicate with his parents. And so now all of a sudden, this guy that was just in a vegetative state, he's having conversations with his mom and his dad. And one of the things he told his dad is, Dad, I would love to be able to run some. And so his dad was reading the paper, and he saw that there was a fundraising race for cerebral palsy in their community. And so he said to his son, Son, would you like to run in this race? Son's bedridden, can't do anything. And his son said, absolutely. So his dad went, got a special wheelchair, put his son in that wheelchair, and he ran the race with his son. When it got done, his son, he talked to him. He said, what did you think of that? He said, it was the greatest moment of my life. I've never felt anything like that. It was so wonderful. And his dad, loving to see his son experience that moment, said, I'm going to do everything I can. I'm going to be faithful to my son, and I'm going to run him as much as I can possibly run with him. Over the years, they continued to run. Eventually, they ran a marathon. It's hard enough to run a marathon by yourself, let alone pushing, you know, another person in a wheelchair. And eventually, they worked themselves up into an ultra marathon. And then he did an Ironman with his son. The love of an unfailing father, what he would do for his son. And what a testimony of a father's love. all said and done, they ran over 1,100 races together. I think that shows a little bit of what an unfailing father's love will do for their child. And that is what this song is telling us, that was written, that the children of Israel sang, was, he is our unfailing father who runs with us through life. He will never leave you to run alone. In those races when you can't run on your own, you don't have the strength and the power, guess what? He's there to push you through it. You don't have to be the Iron Man that can get through it, but you know what? You have an unfailing father. He's got the strength. He's the one who can get you through those times. You see, that's the power of love, part two. It's that unfailing love that he has. And that's the reason that I didn't want to be in a rush to start this morning, because I don't want to ever take his love for us with a lackadaisical attitude, or okay, it's just now time to move on to the next thing. Because his love is so powerful. You see, the power of love, the first thing that it does is it saves man. We know that because we read in the book of John, chapter 3, verse 16, and this is one of those scriptures that we all could probably quote. For this is how God loved the world, that he did what? He gave his one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. This is the whole reason we have Jesus. This is the whole reason that God said, I'm going to step out of heaven. I'm going to robe myself in flesh. I want to save mankind. That thing that I lost in the garden, I want to get that back. And so the power of God, he bent all of his power towards the saving of man. And that's why we get to experience the gospel. The good news, the plan of salvation, the fact that we get to, and it never gets old, we get to repent. And you know what I love about repentance? It's not a one-time deal. Because, yeah, thank God. Because, you know what? Repentance is all about me going my own way, and then, God, I'm not just sorry about it, but I want to change what I'm doing and walk with you and toward you. But you know what happens in life? We might do that with most of the areas, but over time, there are areas that we still want to do it our way. And so you know what we have to do? God, I need your help. And we repent again and say, Lord, I want to come your direction. But the reason that, you know, when you go down in the watery grave of baptism and you take on the name of Jesus, you're not just getting wet. The blood of Jesus is applied to your life, and everything that you have ever done in your past, it's washed away. It's gone. That, folks, is powerful. And I love the fact that it doesn't even change the color of the water. It's so powerful. It just instantly washes sin away from our life. We get to be new in him. And then, of course, we come up out of the water a new person, and then he fills us with his spirit. Listen, I'm just going to tell you, the more you love someone, the closer you want to get to them. And you can't get any closer to someone than residing inside of their life. Think about that. He loves you so much. He's like, I don't want to just be around you. I want to be inside of you. His love, it's so powerful. His love is so great. In Romans 5 and 8, it says, but God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were yet sinners. Now, how many of you struggle with feeling worthy of God? You know what? You're right. The song we sang said, he is worthy. But we aren't, but you catch this scripture. While we were still sinners, while you were still wallowing in the pigsty of life, he said, man, I love them. They sure are a mess right now, but wait till I get a hold of them. Wait till I get to show them the love. Because it's not about you being worthy or you deserving it. It's about how much he loves you. All of it. And you know what? Because he loves you, that makes you worthy. As soon as he says, Ralph, I love you and I'm going to draw you to me because I see something in your heart. In that moment, you go from being unworthy to being the most worthy thing on the planet. And what's great is that can happen to every single person on this planet. I'm so thankful that he looked at me because, listen, my mom is here and don't ask her stories. She knows my unworthiness. But he said, you know what? I love you so much, you're worthy. And I want you to know that he looked at you and said, you know what? You weren't worthy, but I love you so much. Now you deserve it. And now you're worthy. So I want to use some of your words. So get over yourself. It's not about you. It's about the power of his love in your life. I was talking to the guys in the office. I love, my favorite subject talking about Jesus is his love. And I started journaling at the end of the day last year. It was February 5th. I started, what are 10 things I'm thankful for today? It caused me to stop at the end of the day and to write down what are 10 things that I'm just grateful for that happened. I missed 3 days this year. And I also lowered it to 5 because it was getting pretty hard. Not because God doesn't do great things every day or there aren't things I'm appreciative of. It was just I'm trying not to do the same thing over and over. Yeah. Yeah, coffee, 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 coffee. I put Heidi in there every once in a while. Actually, every once in a while, I'll share with her what I wrote. And just because I'm trying to, I want her to know how special she is. Yeah. But my point to that is, I wrote in there last year after I preached my message, the first one of these, that's the power of love. I wrote in there, I will never stop being amazed at how much I don't understand the love of God, but how powerful it is. It's incredible, folks. The power of his love is beyond our comprehension. You know why that is? Because love is God, and God is beyond our comprehension. That's why don't believe the lie the enemy might be telling you or you're telling yourself that you are not worthy of his love, because guess what? His love is so powerful, I don't care how bad you are worthy of it. His love saves people, and that's the power of love. The next thing that shows us the power of love is the fact that he reconciles relationships. And we see in 2 Corinthians 5, 18 through 19, it says, and all of this is a gift from God, who brought us back to himself through Christ and has given us this task of reconciling people to him. For God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. And he gave us this, I love this word, this wonderful message of reconciliation. I love the fact that we are reconciled to him. Adam and Eve, they really did a job on us. You wonder why there's bad stuff in the world? Thank our great grandparents to the 20th power. Because they messed it all up. But don't look at them and say, well, you all did it, because chances are we would have probably done the same thing. But what strikes me about this and what you see in the power of his love for us is He is the one that reinitiated, or that initiated, that reconciliation with mankind. There was nobody forcing him and putting him in an arm bar or the full Nelson. Anybody remember the full Nelson? There was nobody forcing him, saying, "You've got to take us back." He said, "I love them so much. I want to reconcile that relationship with them." And as we read, it's a wonderful message that he gave us, not about just about our reconciliation with him, but that we get to share with others. And in Colossians 3, 13 and 14, he says, "Make allowance for each other's faults. Forgive anyone who offends you. Remember the Lord forgave you. He reconciled with you. So you," and what's that word? "So you must forgive others." It's a command. It is a must. It's something we don't get the option of. You know why we don't get the option? Because he did it to us. He said, "I want to forgive you and I want to reconcile with you. And I'm giving you this message of reconciliation. It's so powerful. I'm going to give it to you and hand it to you so that you can then pass it off to others." And it's something that we've got to do. Make allowance for each other's faults. Forgive anyone who offends you. Why? Because that's the power of love. It's what he has done for us. My dad, used him, talked to him a couple times. But my dad had pastored a church and he got sick and walked away from God. Really didn't walk away from, he was hurt a little. Somebody comes in, takes over the church. We ended up going there, and the person who ended up pastoring church, Pastor Will White, was actually one of my dad's close friends growing up when they were, well, maybe not growing up, but older, when Brother White had come into church. We were really close, his parents, and or just a couple of my parents and them. But my dad, over the years, he did really good, but there came a moment when he got offended. And he just decided, I'm not gonna do this anymore. And so he totally walked away from God, spent years away from God. He said things to his friend, his pastor, and about his friend and his pastor. And he broke that relationship. And I remember we didn't go to church forever. And I'm just going to tell you, as a 16-year-old or 17-year-old, I needed to go to church. You know, I was struggling with my own stuff, and then we just stopped. And my dad, he really, and my dad was not a perfect man by any stretch, and he did some things that were, you know, he walked away from God. You do bad stuff when you, can I tell you, you do bad stuff when you walk away from God. And he did, but there came a time in God's mercy, 6 months before he passed away, God began to stir inside of his heart. "Marshall, I love you. I want you back." And in the fall of 1991, I had come back to the Lord. And so my dad just, I honest to this day don't know the impetus, what made him come to church that day. But he came that night and he repented and just started coming, just like he had never. But that was God wanting to reconcile with him and say, "You know what, even though you've walked away from me, even though you've said some things against your pastor, against your friend, I want to reconcile with you." And he did. And over time, a couple of months passed, January of 1992 comes, and never forget this day until the day I die or when I go to heaven. I don't, couple days before that Sunday night service, I was with Brother Ken Dillingham. They used to live in Coshocton, so we were hanging out. And at some point, he was talking. He said, "Man, what do you think about your dad come back?" I said, "It's awesome. It's wonderful." I said, "But you know what? I have never heard my dad speak in tongues. My dad pastored, and I had never heard my father speak in tongues. That was a big deal to me at that point. I'm like, you know, I just wanted to hear my dad speak in tongues." I don't know if it was a Friday or Saturday night when it was, but that Sunday night right after that, I had a move of God. Presence of God was thick in the room, just like it was and it is here today. And I'll never forget watching my dad. He walked over to Brother White and he tapped him on the shoulder. Brother White turns around, my dad just hugged him. And in that moment, my dad began to speak in tongues. First time I'd ever heard him in my life, he spoke in tongues. The first time I ever heard it was when he was reconciling with someone who he had hurt. I remember I'm standing and I'm watching, and I'm like, this is really cool. And Brother Dillingham walked up, put his arm around me, and said, "So what do you think?" I'm like, "That's pretty cool." But my dad, you know, he reconciled with God, but then my dad had to make reconciliation with the man who was his friend, who he had tore down, who he had offended. Such a powerful move. But that's the power of his love. He saves us so we can be reconciled with him, so that we can reconcile with one another. And I'm going somewhere with this. Because here is the next thing that happens. Here is the next power of love, is it creates unity. And in John 13, or John 13, verses 34 and 35, it says, "So now I'm giving you a new commandment." You know what a commandment is? It's an order. It's a "you better do it" moment. Love each other. I think we can handle that. "Just as I have loved you, you should love each other. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples." You see, the power of us being saved brings reconciliation, and the power of that reconciliation, it binds us together. It creates a unity in us. It makes us love each other, because I'm just going to tell you, some of you were unlovable before you came to the Lord. You needed the power of his love. I needed the power of his love. Listen, I don't say it to a whole lot of people because I ain't proud of it, but I had a terrible mouth on me. Cutting, you know, we did the whole words thing. Talked about the sharp knife, this two-edged sword piercing and cutting people. That was this tongue. If you gave me a reason, I would cut you to pieces. Now, I would like you while I was doing it. But I was going to cut you down. But you see, the power of love is it creates love not only for him, but for one another. And that love for one another creates unity that binds us together. And it's all based on the foundation of his unfailing love that he transfers to us, that we can transfer to each other. It just creates this connectedness inside of us that you just cannot get without him. But here's the next part. And I'm winding down, I promise. The power of love leads to unity. And unity in the body is powerful. I want to say it again. The power of love leads to unity. And unity in the body is powerful. Now I'm going to prove it to you. Ecclesiastes 4:9-12. Two people are better than one, for they can help each other succeed. If one person falls, the other can reach out and help. But someone who falls alone is in real trouble. Likewise, two people lying close together can keep each other warm. But how can one be warm alone? A person standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two can stand back to back and conquer. But then I love this. Three are even better, for a triple braided cord is not easily broken. You see, God said it from the very foundation, it's not good that man is a. We were never supposed to be, get that out right, alone. We're always supposed to be connected and unified. It creates something powerful in your life. You catch that? Now, mind you, this is the Old Testament. He's kind of talking about physical things, but spiritually this applies to us too. It says, if one person falls, the other can reach out and help them. Can I tell you, sometimes in your walk with God, you fall? And you know what? If you aren't in unity with people and you've got a bad attitude and you just refuse to align yourself and love others, you know what's going to happen? You're going to fall and there's going to be anybody there to help you out. But oh, how great it is. Because we're unified together in the body. When I stumble or when I fall, there's a brother, there's a sister. It's right there to say, okay, you know what? You're down, but you ain't out, because I'm going to give you a hand right now. You are more powerful. You are less likely to fall in your walk with God and to fail Him when you are in unity with each other. It's a powerful thing. The other thing, you know, it gives us that strength. We find it says, it can help keep us warm. Can I just tell you? Anybody in here like to grill? Use real charcoal? Or you burn wood? You put it all in a pile, and guess what? It all stays what? Hot. You take a log off, you take a coal off, you take something off, and you set it off to the side, and what does it do? It goes out. It gets cold. What happens if you take it? You just take it right back in the pile. It gets hot. Can I just tell you, the best way to stay on fire for God is to stay close to one another? That's pretty simple. The next thing, you can, all right, the enemy's going to attack us. But you know what this tells us? When the enemy attacks us, we've got each other's backs. I don't have to worry about he's shooting darts at me and I'm using my shield of faith. Well, but you know what? He sneaks around and tries to come behind me. But you know what? That's all right, because I got a brother who I'm in unity with who is praying for me. And he shoots another dart at my back and whoop, his shield of faith pops up and blocks the dart. I'm just telling you, the enemy has a harder time getting to you when we are in unity. And then the last thing, broken. This world will break you if you do not have other people to give you strength in those moments. It's powerful. Do you realize being in unity, it keeps me from falling. It keeps me on fire for God. It helps me overcome the enemy. And it also keeps me from being broken when this horrible world that we live in tries to break me. That's the power of His love binding us together and then creating a more powerful body that we get to be a part of. The next thing, Matthew 18, 19 through 20. Remember, the power of love leads to unity. Unity in the body is powerful. And this is another reason why. I also tell you this. If two of you agree here on earth, I'm not saying we can't have disagreements and you can't like vanilla and I like chocolate and we still can't be friends. You don't have to agree on everything, but if two of you agree here on earth concerning anything you ask, my Father in heaven will do it for you. For where two or three gather together as my followers, I am there among them. This is not the scripture for when only two people show up to church. You know, there's only two of us here tonight, but that's all right. Where two or three are gathered. Anybody else that make you sick when you hear that? Just say it. Everybody else stayed home and we were the only knuckleheads that came tonight. There's just two of us. All right, well. But it's not talking about gathering together in church. It's talking about us being in unity and in prayer. Our prayer is more powerful when we are in unity. It's like that compounding thing, you know, when if one can put 1,000, two can put 10,000. One person's prayer is 1,000% effective, but when two people bind together and pray, all of a sudden it's magnified to 10,000 times the power. Shameless plug, Saturday mornings, Harvest Prayer. We had 9 people here yesterday. Just saying. Should be one of our most sought after and most important services. That's from Pastor. And here's why. Because it's powerful. I'm not saying, please, don't walk away saying, well, I got to go because it made me feel guilty. That's not it. I want you to want to come because I want to be a part of something powerful. Because when I'm together with them, and I get it, there are, you know what? I wasn't here January 4th. Tell on myself. You know why? Because we were moving our daughter. Sometimes life happens and you just can't make it. And that's okay. But I'm telling you, there is something incredibly powerful about unity in prayer. Our prayer is more powerful when we are together. And when I say together, it's not always about being physically together. It's being in unity, having that spirit of unity in the body. And last, Psalms 133, verses 1 through 3, it says, how wonderful and pleasant it is when brothers live together in harmony. You know what the opposite of that is? How awful and how terrible it is when brothers don't live together in harmony. I ask permission for this. But one of the most powerful things we can do is that whole reconciliation thing. It's that living in harmony. Again, everybody doesn't have to like vanilla. But we do have to be in unity with Him and in our love for one another. And when we're not, you know what we have to do? We have to fix it. Because it's wonderful and it's pleasant when the church, when we live together in harmony and unity. There came a time several months ago, Mike, I got permission, folks. And he said something so funny. He's like, listen, if you ever want to use me for the crash dummy, go ahead and do it. I didn't laugh when he said it, but I chuckled all the way down the hall. But him and, where's Ralph at? Him and Ralph. He got offended and mad at Ralph. They had some conversations. And it wasn't good conversations. Some disagreements, some stuff went on. But you know what Mike did? Mike said, I can't let this stay between us. And Mike, and these are the words he said out there in the foyer this morning. He said, I knew I was wrong and I needed to ask His forgiveness. So you know what he did? He went to him and said, Ralph, I love you. For just, you know what, I messed up. Can we be good? He was like, we're good. We're like, all good. Because that's how men do it. That's it. And you know what? They're good. In that moment, just that reconciliation. Because here is the reason why this is important and why this matters and why we have got to be in unity with one another and why we cannot be offended and hold on to it. Because, all right, if Mike had been like, you know what? He's a dum-dum. And if Rod had been like, well, nah. That would still be going on. And you know what? It certainly wouldn't be pleasant. And when they were together in the same room, you know what? Would it be pleasant to be around them? But the fact that they did it is so wonderful. And here's why it's so wonderful. See, in verse 2, for harmony is as precious as the anointing oil that was poured over Aaron's head and ran down his beard and on the border of his robe. Harmony is as refreshing as the dew from Mount Hermon that falls on the mountaintops of Zion. And there the Lord has pronounced his blessings, even everlasting life. It's powerful because it brings blessings and it brings the anointing of God into your life. There's no greater way to stifle the anointing of God in your life than to not live in harmony with your brothers and sisters. We can't hold on to things. We can't, and this is the other, please don't think that the anointing is only for preachers. Can I tell you, every one of you, you've been baptized in Jesus' name, filled with the Holy Ghost, you know what? You are anointed. And you need, when you're walking at work, where you live, where you work, where you play, where you learn, when you're there, you need to know, I'm anointed, and I am spreading the anointing with me wherever I go. And when you are bound together and when we are in unity, it is so powerful that there are blessings that come behind the anointing that we have. And as we all stand today, you see, the power of love, it saves man. It saves man to reconcile our relationships with God and with each other. The power of love, then out of that reconciled relationships, it creates unity. And the power of unity in the body, it's just flat out powerful. Look at your neighbor and say, together we are powerful. Anyways, but you see, the power of love, it reconciles us, it saves us so that we can be together, so that we can do incredible things together. That's the power of his love. That's the presence that we felt earlier. That, all of that is wrapped up inside of that presence that we felt. All of that power. We're not waiting on it. It's here. But I want to admonish today. I have a card here that I wrote when Brother Richard was preaching Sunday. And he dug into it a little bit about forgiveness and reconciliation. And I wrote it down and I talked a little bit about it at the end of our message. During our prayer and fasting, one of the things we were supposed to do was find someone to reconcile with. And I know that inside of this house, there are just people that need to reconcile. And I know that in this house, there are people that right now are in the process of reconciliation. And I know there are some of you in this house that hopefully you're just reconciled with everybody. I love everybody. We're all good. It's all wonderful. You good, bro? All right, then we're good. That's all it takes. But it is here, but nothing can stop that it is here. Because you see the power there. You see that how powerful our prayer is, how powerful we get the anointing, how powerful we are in our walk with God because we are unified together. Nothing can stymie. It is here right now more than disunity. And so here I am with my Valentine's Day message, preaching a message about unity, because it comes from the power of God's love. So today, we've got a couple things we're going to do. Number one, if you need to reconcile with someone, if you need to go and apologize for things you have said or things you have done, or if you know somebody has something, you know, the Bible, you know, this is Bible, Matthew 18. If your brother has aught against you, your sister has aught against you, you know what you do? You go to them and you talk to them. And hopefully that's it. So if that's here, what a great time to do it. So easy, so refreshing. But then the other thing we're going to do is I want us to find someone. All right, I want to tell you what I said to my wife. Last night I said, I'm going to tell them they need to find a love partner. She said, don't say that. There is safety in a multitude of counselors. Just saying. So I renumerated on it, or numerated, I don't know, whatever. Ruminated, that's what, I didn't recount it. Dear Lord Jesus, help us. And He is. He's helping us right now. But I want us to find a unity partner. Guys and gals. So, first thing, there needs to be some reconciliation that takes place in the house today. Number one. Number two, I want you to find someone and I want you to link up with them and say, for the next year, we're going to stand in unity together. We're going to pick each other up. We're going to keep each other warm. We're going to look out and keep the enemy from conquering us. We're going to keep each other from being broken in our walk with God. Now, if He's trying to work on an area of your life, that's different, but not letting the world break you. And somebody that you can link arms with and say, our prayer is going to be powerful. We're not just putting 1,000 to flight. We're going to put 10,000 to flight together. So I want us, just close your eyes for a moment. I just want us to pray right now before I release you to do this. Lord, I pray right now. Obviously, You are doing incredible things in our midst, in our lives, through this body. And Lord, there is this thing that we've got to make sure doesn't creep in to distract and doesn't hinder what You are doing even in our midst. Right now, Lord, I pray that You would let us see the importance and the power of Your love that binds us together in unity. And God, I pray that if we have someone in our hearts that we need to go and reconcile with, Lord, I pray that You would give us that person, that You would show it to us right now. Show us who they are. And then, Lord, give me the courage to go. Give us the courage to do what if we don't do is just going to hinder our own walk and hinder what You are doing. God, give us the strength to go to that person and love them. And Lord, I pray that You would lead us to that person that we need to partner with in unity to hold one another up for the next year. With all of us that are here this morning, again, let's make this appropriate. Guys with guys, gals with gals. But it just doesn't have to be two, you know, one to one, two people. Because it says what? A threefold cord is not easily broken. So what's the math? If one puts 1,000 to flight, two puts 10,000 to flight, what does that mean three puts to flight? It's waiting on one of our math people to shout it out. Because, you know, there were people who were already thinking it. But right now, this is the altar call. This is what we're going to do. I want you to find somebody to, if you need to reconcile, do that this morning. And here's the thing. If you don't have anybody to reconcile with, you know what I want you to do? Find someone to stand in unity with. All right, go do it. Come on, let's. I release you now.